Well, welcome along to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with Free Super Tips. I'm Dave Clark, he's Steve Palmer, the golf betting guru. How are you, Steve?
I'm all right, Dave. We made some money last week, didn't we? We had four players in the places, four of our seven selections placed. So, yeah, no cigars came out on Sunday, but yeah, we certainly live to fight another day. Are you okay?
I'm all good. I'm all good. Thank you very much. They've lots of happy punters in the comments as well, getting runs for their money, getting the place money, and we live to fight another day.
That's it. That's it. And if you put the two number one picks in an each way double, which I always urge punters to do, that's a healthy place return. Rathmuth Hoggar finished fourth, and then across the pond, Davis Thompson, who will come to, battled manfully to get to finish fifth. So, yeah, the each way double crew will be happy.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Right. We'll, as ever, look back and then we'll look forward. Do remember to drop your comments, like, comment, and share The Sweet Spot every week. We're here for you on a Wednesday. Right. We'll look back then, Steve, and we'll start with the Andalusia Masters. And this finished in what would I call the equivalent of a penalty shootout. And we got down to the keepers beginning to take their kicks. A ninth playoff hole.
Yeah. And did you care who won? I mean, I really didn't want. Well, I mean, we've been on Julian Gellier a lot lately, haven't we? I mean, he won at 66-1 last week. We were on him for the Irish Open a month ago. We were on him. He was our number one pick, actually, for the Spanish Open after that. So, yeah, I was hoping Jorge Campillo would win rather than Julian Gellier. And I gave up on the playoff, Dave. I mean, it was just never ending. I thought the world was going to end before the playoff ended. And I gave it a few holes. And I said to Tommy Tiger, we're off down the snooker club. I can't watch any more of this low quality playoff. They were just parring every flipping hole, weren't they? I didn't.
It was quite exciting leading up to the playoff, though. It was up and down. Yeah. There was clubs cutting everywhere. There was two shot swings. It was quite a dramatic back nine.
Yeah, I mean, Jorge Campillo had the tournament at his mercy and will be pretty disgusted with the way he finished. I mean, he was two over par for the final four holes of regulation. And up to that point, up to the 12th hole on Sunday, he hadn't made a bogey all week. So yeah, it seemed like a classic choke to me. I mean, Jorge Campillo would be difficult to trust going forward, I think. I won't be keen on him going forward. But you know, Julian Gellier, you know, a huge monkey off his back now. He's no spring chicken, Dave. He won at 39 years of age on Sunday, turns 40 in July. So an overdue win for a player that we've been following for a while. Great record in Spain. He seems to love playing in Spain. So, yeah, I think Julian Gellier might have more wins in him and Jorge Campillo will have to be a bit careful with because all the crowd were behind him. He had Angel Hidalgo cheering him on in the gallery Yeah, all the Spanish were desperate to see Jorge win, but no joy. No joy for him.
Yeah, a maiden win for the Frenchman. 230th appearance on the tour. So it's not really, I know you've been following him, Steve, but not one you can beat yourself up about not finding.
No, I mean, he was an amateur champion, wasn't he, in 2015, I think. So he's always been a good player and it's taken him ages to get there. And you could see the emotion at the end there. He was, he was a bit tearful in the interview afterwards. So I was pleased for him, just disappointed we weren't on. I mean, Rathmuth Hoggar, I don't have any huge regrets about putting him up because he played okay. It was just the Friday that killed us again. I'm not enjoying my Friday's day because the previous week in the French Open, Yannick Paul played poorly on the Friday, carded a 70 on the Friday. And then last week, Rasmus put a 71 on the board on Friday in Andalusia. So, yeah, we just need to get some more joy on Fridays and we'll be having winners. But fourth place, no disaster. We got our money back on that and it helped us get the each-way double. And Thorbjørn Thunderbear Olesen, were you following him? Yeah, very slow to come to the party, but tied seventh with four other players, a Friday 72. So, God help me, these Fridays need to improve, Dave.
Right, any other takeaways? Any other takeaways from it, Steve?
Well, in this sort of theme of no regrets, I think we've got to be pleased that we didn't put up Jon Rahm. Yeah, Jon Rahm was a short price favourite, general 11-4. Lots of people getting stuck into that. And it was a never threatening sixth place. He finished sixth, open with a 70 and was playing catch-up all the way. So a really flopping favourite. So, Jon Rahm, we might not see him for a little while now. And, we'll see whether the live politics can bring everyone together over Christmas.
Strange. So what is going to happen then with Jon Rahm? Because he's playing these four events, so he's eligible.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Is he going to get picked?
Yeah, I expect so. Yeah. Yeah. I think the players will want him on the team. You know, Rory McIlroy seems to be the unofficial team leader of Europe, doesn't he? And he's already said we need John Rahm there. It's going to be so hard to compete with the Americans in an away match there. So, they definitely need John Rahm there, I'd say. And I think Luke Donald will pick him. And Tyrrell Hatton, of course, will be probably in the same boat. So, you know, Bethpage Black, really, really tough away fixture. So, but he's done his qualification period now, and I'd expect him to be picked.
Box ticking exercise completed. Certainly be a weaker team without him. Right, we'll move on then to the Shriners Children's Open, and Poston delivers here, Steve. He got a good record in this event as well, finished third last year. And again, you know, probably not one you can beat yourself up about. Went back and looked, not won an event since the John Deere Classic back in 2022. So a good effort. Again, you know, pretty straightforward. One or two bumps along the way. I suppose you could call it a wire-to-wire-ish kind of performance, but always looked in control.
Well, he was a 35-1 winner, a third PGA Tour title. He finished round three really well. That was the key moment. They had a weather delay, so on Sunday he had to finish round three, and he gave himself a lovely cushion for the final round. And he really needed that cushion, didn't he? Because he wobbled late. I don't know if he bothered staying up. It finished so late. No. I had half an eye open watching it, and he made a par five at 16, a bogey at 17, and a par at 18, and won by a shot. So he just edged over the line. JT Poston, no world beater. You know, he's won three low-grade PGA Tour events. He's 31 years of age. I don't have a great passion for supporting him going forward. And he'll feel so blessed about being on the right side of the draw, Dave. I don't know if you were following it, but huge draw bias last week. The early starters on Thursday had a huge advantage because it was flat calm on Thursday morning. You saw Taylor Pendrith go bananas, shoot 10 under. But then Thursday afternoon and all of Friday, really, really windy. So
carnage on the greens as well. Carnage on the greens with the wind.
Yeah, they were quite pacey by Sunday. They couldn't let them get that fast early in the tournament because it was so windy. But by Sunday, they were rolling out. But 7.39 a.m. was Poston's Thursday tee time, which was a really fortunate launch pad for him. And Doug Gimbackers, if there's any Doug Gimbackers watching, I feel so sorry for you. And put some stuff in the comment section to just let it all out. It's better to talk these things out. Let it out. Get it, you know, let me be your therapist. Doug Gimbackers would be furious because Doug Gim, he teed off 11.56 on Thursday. And the late early wave averaged almost four shots worse than the early late waves over the opening two rounds. So it was a four-shot draw bias. And Gim battled really well, lost the tournament by a shot. And we got to keep an eye on him. You know, he was a really good amateur, Dave. And he's 28 years of age now. And he seems to be getting closer to a maiden PGA Tour title.
Well, we don't want people to beat themselves up too much. Was it visible in the forecast that this was going to be the play, Steve, that, you know, the draw could come into it?
Well, the problems we have, we record this on a Tuesday, don't we? It wasn't as evident on the Tuesday, and as it got closer, it did appear. You know, it's a tough game for punters because if you want to be in that early scramble for all the juicy odds, don't you? Normally on a Monday and a Tuesday, the markets are being beaten into shape by punters grabbing the early value. But, you know, perhaps the punters that are happy to take shorter prices with a bit more knowledge can bet late and come to the party late when the weather forecast is, you know, more set in stone. So, yes, a real dilemma for punters, whether to go early to get the big prices and be less certain about the weather or come in late with the shorter prices and more knowledge. It depends how you like to play it. But, I suppose we should be beating ourselves up a little bit. But we like to get this sweet spot out on a Tuesday, don't we? We're recording at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday. I mean, we were unlucky with Davis Thompson. Let's be honest. I mean, Davis Thompson, no regrets about putting him up at the time we were putting him up. He was 28-1 and he played so well. 66, 68, 66, 66 from the wrong half of the draw. His tee to green game was in mint condition last week. He was 12:40 p.m. on the Thursday. But he came back from a big break and his swing was majestic. And his putter, you know, he must have bought the putter from Iceland. His putter was ice cold. So he's out in the worst of the weather for the first 2 days. And he's carrying an ice cold putter the whole week. Even on Sunday, I was getting frustrated. He missed a couple of five footers on Sunday. So he finished fifth. Davis Thompson, you've got to take Davis Thompson from that race. Next time Davis Thompson plays, I'm going to be very excited about backing him because he finished only four shots off the lead despite lots of things going against him.
He must have bought the putter from Iceland. Where's your go-to, Steve, for the weather? Where, you know, if you're looking ahead to an event in the US, how are you going about finding the weather?
You need to go through more than one website, I would suggest. I mean, AccuWeather is very good for the American ones. The BBC one is so... It looks so good. Like, I mean, my wife gets very angry with me because I always go to the BBC one, which she thinks is far less trustworthy than the Met Office one. She goes, "You want to use the Met? You've got to use the Met. You want to use the Met?" And I just said, "Well, the Met's just confusing. It's got too many bits and bobs in it." The BBC one is clear as crystal. You can see it all in front of you, but perhaps a little bit less accurate. So again, it depends how you're feeling. You know, I still lean towards the BBC one because I can get the info quicker. But AccuWeather's good for America. And Met Office, I'm told, is absolutely brilliant. You've got to keep an eye on the weather. You've got to keep an eye on everything in this golf game. And Matty Schmidt, if you want to talk to me about Matty Schmidt, Dave.
Well, he was up there, wasn't he? He was up there. I thought he was going to be a runner.
I will happily talk to you about Matty Schmidt. I actually went for a walk on Sunday night because Matty Schmidt was on the par train and I just couldn't bear to watch any more of Matty Schmidt on the par train. I actually walked past an actual train station because there's a train station about 5-minute walk from my house, and I thought, all right, I'll go and do a bit of train spotting, watch some actual trains, take my mind off the Matty Schmidt par train. On Sunday night, I thought Matty Schmidt had a very good chance of winning, and then he was level par for his final round through 12 holes. Everyone else making birdies. And he ended up tied for third place at 50-1 for us. So again, we can't beat ourselves up. We had some great each way bets last week, but we're hungry, aren't we, Dave? We're always hungry for winners.
Well, what do you say? We're trying to win this golf tournament, right? Every week we're looking for winners. It's nice to place. It's nice to double them up, but we're trying to win.
Yeah. We're really hungry, and the weather is less of a factor this week, Dave. I think we're going to get two fair fights, and we can go into it with some confidence.
Good. Well, I'm glad this is your time of the year. We know that. We've mentioned that last couple of weeks on the show. October is the time to strike. Winners, place money, and we go again. Right, we're in Asia this week. We'll start with the Genesis Championship. We're in South Korea here, Steve. Before we drill down into the field, tell us about the track.
This is my time of the year, Dave. You know I'm bonkers about conkers. I'm really disappointed with the amount of conkers I'm seeing at the moment. Maybe this is something to do with global warming. I don't know if you've been out there searching for conkers like me.
Yeah, there's one at the. To be fair, there's one at the end of my road. And
you've got a good one, have you?
A couple of times. I've got carrier bags full of them, mate.
Maybe it's just
get them in
down
the freezer. Soak them in vinegar, whatever it takes. Get them on the string. I don't think they're allowed to play conkers anymore, the kids.
Well, no, health and safety. No, you can break a finger, and no one wants that. But yeah, perhaps send some my way then, because down south here, I can't find some decent sized conkers. I've got lots of little ones that are not fully formed, but I like to get big conkers in my hands, Dave. And I've not had that opportunity. I've not had that opportunity yet. But this is by the by. What was the question?
I don't know.
The course.
Yeah, you and your conkers, let's go to the course.
Genesis Championship, which I believe tees off just before the Zozo Championship. So Dave's on the ball there in making this, because we're obsessed with chronological order on this podcast. Yes. Jack Nicklaus Golf Club, Korea, Incheon, South Korea, 7,470 yards, par 72, four par fives. This was a Korean Tour event from 2017 through 2023 at this venue. And we also had the one-off Korea Championship, which was a DP World Tour event at Jack Nicklaus Golf Club last April. So it's quite confusing for punters. What tournament is this? It's actually a Korean Tour event that's become a DP World Tour event, but there was a DP World Tour event last year at this course. It's so confusing. But you don't really need to worry about that as a punter. Just look at the fields and work out who's going to win. And that's what we're going to do. So the Genesis Championship becomes a DP World Tour event for the first time this year. This course was first shown to the world, you might remember, in the 2015 President's Cup. It's a parkland track that's not far from the sea, a classic Nicklaus design. So generous fairways, tough approach shots, undulating greens. We got sunny and calm weather forecast, which is great because I'm fed up of the weather becoming an issue. I think scoring will be pretty decent, maybe about 15 under par will win it. All the par fives are reachable in two shots. There's a couple of short par fours. Accurate iron play, the key to success. A field of 1-2-6 going to post. And we must stress, get your bets on. There's no time for dilly-dallying this week, Dave. 11 p.m. on Wednesday night. This will begin.
Okay, right. So this starts at 11 p.m. and the other tournament is the Zozo. What time does that start?
I think that's 11:30-ish. Tea times haven't come out yet, but yeah, you've got to be quick off the mark this week.
Right, so if you're playing either tournament, doubles, whatever, act early. Right, let's have a look at the field then. Tom Kim, 8-1. Byung-Hun An, 9s. Nicola Højgaard, 20. Yannick Paul, your mate, Steve, 22. Sebastian Soderberg, 28. 33, Bar. Very, very competitive, this one. Nice looking market. 8 to the field. How many in the team?
We've got 5 selections in this. It's a tricky tournament. I have to give it some respect. And then we've got 3 in the Zozo.
5 and 3. Okay, lovely stuff. Then, who is the pick for the Genesis?
Yannick Paul. 22-1, Yannick Paul, who gave us a great run for our money as the headline selection in the French Open the week before last. He lost a tournament by a shot. Dan Bradbury, as we discussed, sort of rode his luck a little bit, edged out Yannick Paul and various others. The main reason we were on Yannick Paul in that French Open was that he seemed to have his iron play back to that elite level that he's capable of. He's a fantastic iron player. He was peppering pins in Paris. Prior to that, trending nicely. He got his putter purring in the Dunhill Links. He played some great golf at St. Andrews in that. He's been looking really dangerous. And I'm more than happy to forgive his miscut last week. Missed the cut by a shot last week in the Andalusia. Nice little breather, I think. He's had a hectic schedule recently. Didn't take a shine to that course, but we know he likes Jack Nicklaus Golf Club. He was tied for the lead through 2 rounds of this event last year. Sorry, not this event, the Korea Championship. So at the halfway stage, tied for the lead in the Korea Championship. Then he had a tough weekend. He dropped from 1st to 38th place, but that was just 3 disaster holes, Dave. He had 2 triple bogeys, 1 double bogey, but generally showed a real liking for this layout. Accurate approach play, the key to success here. That's the MO of Yannick Paul. He's 5th on tour for greens and regulation. So yeah, I see a 2nd DP World Tour title for the 30-year-old German on Sunday. Sorry. And I'm quite excited. I'm quite excited, Dave, about the possibility of Yannick Paul making a late bid for a PGA Tour card. You know, we're getting to the stage now where if you finish in the top 10 of the DP World Tour Race to Dubai rankings, you can get a PGA Tour card. There's plenty of players that are in that top 10 who've already got a PGA Tour card. So it goes to the ones that are just below. And Yannick Paul, with a real surge, can get on the PGA Tour by winning this and then playing well the next 2 weeks. And his brother, his twin brother, did you know he had a twin brother, Dave?
I didn't, actually. No, I didn't know that.
He's got a twin brother called Jeremy, who's just qualified for the PGA Tour next season through the Korn Ferry Tour. So, we could have Yannick and Jeremy twins on the PGA Tour next year if Yannick can finish the season in spectacular fashion.
All right. Interesting. He's trending nicely. I don't like that, Steve. You've fallen into the buzzword trap there, haven't you?
Well, maybe going forward, I'll change that then.
Okay, maybe we'll touch base in the week and discuss it. Not a problem. Right, okay, that is the main selection.
Yes.
Who else have we got in the team of 5?
Guido Migliozzi, 28-1. Guido Migliozzi, a 4-time DP World Tour champion at the age of 27. Easy to forget how young he is. He won the KLM Open in June, you might remember. The Migliozzi A game is spectacular. Do you remember his US Open debut, Dave? In 2021, you must remember his US Open debut in 2021. Finished 4th in that. And the point is, Migliozzi, at his best, is world class. You know, he stunned everyone in that US Open. I think in a low-grade event like this, you have to respect him. He was 8th at Cranthyr last month. He got better every day of the Dunhill Links Championship. 73, 71, 64. Missed the cut by a shot, the 54-hole cut. But signs of encouragement in the Dunhill. And then he went to the French Open and finished 18th. Back-to-back rounds of 67 over the weekend. So I suspect Guido is creeping back to the form that he showed early in the summer. He was in great nick early in the summer. Jack Nicklaus Golf Club is a good fit for him. And he's highly motivated, Dave. We mentioned the Race to Dubai rankings. He's 20th in the Race to Dubai rankings. And you'll notice last week he was one of hardly any contenders for those PGA Tour cards that took the week off. So I think he took a tactical breather last week, missed the Andalusia Masters. I think that'll help him a lot to sustain a challenge in Korea. I think he senses his chance because he finished 14th in this. He finished 14th in the Korea Championship last year on this track. Closed with a 9 under par, bogey-free 63. So Migliozzi licking his lips about his return to Jack Nicklaus Golf Club. He's licking his lips.
I like the idea of any player that sort of takes that breather and takes, because obviously we're a different part of the world here as well.
Yeah.
So time to adjust, that sounds sensible.
I think you're right. I think there was a desperation about a lot of the people that entered that Andalusia Masters last week. And you saw players looking a bit fatigued. I think Guido obviously played well on this track last year and thinks, well, I'll save myself for this one. Because a winner's check here would seal it.
Yeah, I like it. I like that play. Right. Third in then, Steve. Who else we got?
Gavin Green. I've seen some 50-1 out there. I can't believe what I'm seeing. That surely won't last. That's a bonkers price. 33-1 is perfectly fair. Keeping the faith with Gavin Green. Two wild drives early in round one last week killed him. He was out of bounds at the sixth hole. He made a seven. He lost his ball at the ninth hole, made a seven. So two more rounds holding nothing on the greens. The putter was cold again. So he missed the cut last week, but his iron play was excellent in a round 269. His iron play in the French Open, as we discussed last week, was out of this world. I think he's got the potential to destroy this week's venue. Fairways are more generous. The fairways are more generous, so he can get away with some of those drives. If he can get the ball in play off the tee, he'll be peppering pins. And that putter will surely warm up at some stage, David. He's too good a putter for this lean spell to continue on the greens. And Correa, it's a perfect fit. He closed with a bogey-free 67 and finished tied 14th in the Korea Championship last year. And he was the second best putter in the field, Dave. So nobody putted better over the weekend of last year's Korea Championship than Gavin Green. So we know he likes these greens. He's a Malaysian, teeing up in his home continent. He's won on the Asian Tour in Taiwan. So everything points to Gavin Green this week. I think he'd go close to a maiden DP World Tour title.
Yeah, I was just checking the spread on alliteration in this week's show. We've got peppering pins and purring putters. There's all sorts.
That's it.
And you've tipped Gavin Green. So there you go.
Let's do it. Peppering pins in Paris. And there was some sort of big crash in the background there. I think your wife was desperately trying to get to the betting shop to get on Gavin Green. Was that it? I don't blame her.
I mean, that was my end, I don't think.
Was that not your end? Oh, maybe that was in the office there. Something went tumbling, but I understand that stampede to get to the betting shop.
Right, okay, that's Gavin Green. We've still got two more to come. Who else we got?
It was probably Margaret, actually. Yeah, sorry, I besmirched your wife. I think Margaret's just getting her recycling in from last night and she's dropped a few bits. So I must go and help Margaret once this show's over. But the fourth selection, Daniel Hillier. 50-1, Daniel Hillier. 55-1, even. You can get 55-1. A 26-year-old New Zealander, full of power, able to destroy the par fives. The par fives are all reachable this week. And then you've got those two short par fours. He won on the Challenge Tour in 2021. He won on the Challenge Tour in 2022. Then last year, DP World Tour breakthrough in the British Masters. This was a great amateur, always expected to make an impact. I think he's one of the best young players on the DP World Tour. And I've seen some encouragement lately. He missed the cut on the mark in the Irish Open. Then played brilliantly over the weekend of the BMW PGA. Finished 18th at Wentworth. So he's had a top 20 finish, Dave, in the BMW PGA at Wentworth and the Open Championship this year. So he's banking some big checks in healthy company. And then in the Dunhill Links, really lively start there. 63 opened up with early pace setter, finished 25th. This course, I think, is a good fit. He first played it in 2016. He played in the Asia Pacific Amateur, which is a prestigious amateur event. He finished 15th in that. And then last year in the Korea Championship, missed the cut by a shot. But again, like Yannick Paul, dig a little bit deeper. It was just three disaster holes masking some otherwise good golf. Hillier had three double bogeys, missed the cut by a shot. He made six birdies and 26 pars. Par or better at 32 of his 36 holes last year. So I think he's got the tools to succeed around here.
And he's a New Zealander, is he?
He's a New Zealander, yeah. We often like to
not call exactly him a hotbed for golf, New Zealand, is it?
Well, we often like to call them Kiwis, don't we? Because it's a lot easier to say. But he's one of the most talented New Zealanders since Ryan Fox. You know, they're the two best New Zealanders, aren't they? But trust me, Daniel Hillier is well suited to this course. We've got a good team here. We've got a good team here. We've got one to go.
The Kiwi is number four. We've got one more, haven't we? Big price, this one?
Yes. I've seen some 150 to one out there. There's 150 to one, but any triple figure price is well worth taking. It's Zhong Wen Ko, a Frenchman of Korean descent. We're in Korea this week. It's a home game of sorts for Zhong Wen Ko, who's certainly not want for support. Rising star of the DP World Tour, I think it's fair to say. Turned pro in 2020, went from the Alps Tour to the Challenge Tour, now on the DP World Tour, in a maiden title. Fourth in the Mauritius Open at the end of 2022. This year, fifth in the Indian Open in March, fourth in the British Masters last month. Last year, turned up for the Korea Championship in dismal form, closed with a 67 and finished 10th. So clearly likes this layout. I can see a similar scenario unfolding this time.
Lovely. What price? 150 to 1?
Yeah, but anything 100 to 1 or bigger, I think, is enormous, yeah. Definitely worth taking a chance at a fancy price each way.
Each way dart there. Right, a player that's not 150 to 1 is the market leader, Tom Kim, 8s. Let's just go through some of those at the head of the market here, Steve, while you're not with them.
I think you're struggling to get 8s. I think he's a general 7s. I mean, yeah, we opposed him last week as favourite, and he was going for a third consecutive Shriners title last week. Missed the cut by 2 shots. He was 7-2 to miss the cut, Dave. I was kicking myself once I saw the weather forecast because he got on the wrong side of the draw. I was toying with that 7-2, didn't do it. Hate myself. But I think that missed cut actually helps him for this week. It's a nice little breather before this week. But course debut, confidence a little bit dented at the President's Cup, as we discussed last week, I think. And not a very exciting price at 7-1. And it's the same with Byun Hunan, who is 8-1 best. I was closer to backing Benny Ann than Tom Kim, but I don't think the President's Cup was a great experience for him either. He was involved in spats on social media about all the cursing, and I don't think him and Wyndham Clark get on very well. So, I think it was a pretty humbling experience, the President's Cup, for both of these guys, and at single-figure prices. Given Benny Ann's struggles on the greens, he can have long spells on the greens where he doesn't hold anything. I don't think you should be taking single figures for Benny Ann.
Right, anything else to add?
No, sir. No, it's Zozo time.
Zozo time. We're off to Japan for the 6th time, the Zozo Championship. Right, quiz time, Steve. 2023, Colin Morikawa. 2022, Keegan Bradley. 21, Matsuyama. 20, Patrick Cantlay. 2019, who won the first?
Tiger Woods. Yeah.
I knew you'd get it.
It was glorious. It was glorious to see. And it's good that you've highlighted that, because the theme running through that set of players is majestic iron play. You've got some of the best iron players that have ever lived there. The best in Tiger Woods. And, Colin Morikawa, exceptional iron player. Hideki Matsuyama, exceptional iron player. So I think it's a good point you made there.
Okay, well, don't just throw this together, I'll have you know. Right, talk to us about the track then, Steve. You touched on it, the sort of player that we're looking for. What about the course?
Yes, Accordia Golf Narashino Country Club, Chiba, Japan. 7,079 yards, par 70, only 3 par 5s. The course hosted the Zozo in 2019, 2021 and 2022 and last year. Sorry, when I get going on the 2023... Yeah, basically we've had 4 there. You've already discussed that. Tight, tree-lined layout. Lots of dog legs. Quite a fiddly test. Small greens. Cloudy and cool weather anticipated this week. Light to moderate breezes. So, yeah, back exceptional iron players. That is the key to success at Narashino. We've got a field of 78 going to post. There's no cut, Dave. You're not going to get these Americans jetting over to the other side of the world if they're potentially going to miss the cut. So, It's a 78 runner event with no cut. Gives us a great opportunity. And 11:30-ish on Wednesday night is when it's going to start.
So get your bets on early if you are playing. Right, we have got a very talented field here. Xander Schauffele, 9-2 is our favourite. Morikawa, 7s. Matsuyama, 8s. Sungjae-im, 14. Thigala, 18. 20s bar, including Justin Thomas. Good field this one, Steve?
A good field that gets weak quickly, I'd say. You've got some superstars. You've got three superstars. And then the field thins.
Okay, right. So who or how many are you tipping for this? 3?
We've got 3 in this.
Right. How far down the market are we looking here? We're going main selection, one of the big guns?
Main selection is one of the big guns, yes.
Right, give it to me then.
This is healthy build-up, healthy anticipation. Colin Morikawa, 7-1 available. I see a successful title defence for Colin Morikawa. This course is made for him. Accurate iron play, the key, as we've mentioned. Morikawa, a modern-day great in this department. The rest of his game is getting better. He's made huge strides this season with his short game. Much more complete player now than at the start of the season. And it showed in the President's Cup last time out. Morikawa was one of the stars of the American side. He scored 4 points from 5 matches. He had 3 different partners in that competition. He won a point with each of them. Then he beat Adam Scott in the singles. Morikawa has played some incredible golf this season, but he's only got his hands on the President's Cup. I mean, it's crazy that he hasn't won an individual event. It's overdue silverware. It's going to come this week. He's been so consistent this term, Dave. 3rd in the Masters, 4th in the USPGA, runner-up in the Memorial, 14th in the US Open, 16th in the Open. And in his last event as an individual, the Tour Championship, he was the lowest 72-hole scorer, rounds of 66, 63, 67, 66 at Eastlake. Scottie Scheffler took the trophy, of course, but only because of the handicap start. Morikawa outscored him by 2 shots at Eastlake. The Zozo Championship 12 months ago ended a long victory drought for Morikawa. It was a 6-shot win in the end. He cruised home. I see him using this tournament in the same way again. I think he's by far the most motivated of the front three in the betting, Dave. Have you gone through the betting? Yeah, I mean, the front three dominate the market. But I think Morikawa was the one who's come here with the desire. He's eager for a win to end that victory drought. He's got Japanese ancestry. His dad is Japanese. Means a lot to him, this tournament. So he does not want to go to Christmas. You know, if he's tucking into his Christmas dinner without a trophy beside him, he's not going to be a happy man. So this is by far his best chance of getting a trophy before the turkeys come out.
Now, listen, we've spoke a number of times about Morikawa. I've backed him loads of times each way. He's always in the frame. Is it the fact that maybe this field is a little bit thin after the first 4 or 5 players that you're game with him this week as well, Steve?
It's a lovely each-way bet, isn't it, Dave? Yeah, if you can get 8 places, say, plenty of opportunity to get 8 places and, 13-2, 8 places package. You're looking at a very solid wager with, as I say, the weather's not going to get involved. So, Morikawa, I think, will be hungry for this one. And it will come to the other 2 market leaders that maybe won't be.
Okay, right. Okay, well, let's move on to the next best then. So we're going Morikawa, the main selection. Who else do you like?
Takumi Kanaya! 80-1, Takumi Kanaya, one of Japan's best young players. He was world number one amateur. Everyone knows I'm obsessed with former world number one amateurs. He was world number one amateur for 55 weeks. He won on the Japan Tour when he was still an amateur in 2019. He's won 7 times on his home circuit, as well as an Asian Tour win. Maybe at the age of 26, he's 26, maybe he's ready for what would obviously be the biggest title of his career. He's got the game to handle Narashino. He finished 7th on his Zozo debut in 2021, and he's bursting with form. He's won twice this year, most recently a playoff victory on the Japan Tour at the start of this month. 12 of his last 18 tournaments have yielded a top 20 finish, Dave. He was 4th in the Japan Open in his last start, so it's just a question for me of whether he can hold his nerve. I mean, this is a PGA Tour event. Obviously, all the opportunities that will come with a victory are enormous. But at that sort of price, you can take your chance, can't you? Let's see if he's got the bottle to win a PGA Tour event. Cracking each way bet.
Lovely. Not a reminder of the price there?
80-1, Takumi Kanaya.
81. And there's only 70-odd runners in the field. So I like that. I like that a lot. Yes. Right, one more then, Steve. Does the price get bigger?
Yeah.
Here we go then.
Kensei Hirata. 110-1. Kensei Hirata. A similar case can be made to the Kanaya case. This is a rising star of Japanese golf, being chalked up as an also-ran in a field of 78, as you mentioned. Because he's in PGA Tour company, he's being disrespected by the market, but playing in his homeland at a course he knows better than most of the PGA Tour raiders. And he's in magnificent form. He's in better form than Kanaya. Hirata turned pro in 2021, made his Japan Tour breakthrough in May last year, really gutsy effort because he was in a playoff against Kaito Nakajima, who you know I love as well. Then Hirata won the Japan PGA Tour Championship. Then he made his Zozo Championship debut. It's not like we're expecting anything this week that he hasn't done before. He finished sixth on his Zozo Championship debut 12 months ago. Just let that get in your little skull there, Dave. So why is he going off at 110-1 to repeat the trick? You know, they got their each way money last week, the Hirata, last year. The Hirata backers that were in clover last year each way. I think he's going to do it again. Bear in mind, he got better each day of his Zozo debut. 71, 69, 68, 66. This time, he can hit the ground running, you know, knows the course better, fewer nerves. He was inevitably going to be nervous last year. 12 months more success behind him. Let me take you through what's happened in those 12 months since. His first win of this year came in July. He's added another three Japan Tour titles since. This lad is sensational. He's a 23-year-old. Growing in confidence all the time. He's 110th in the world rankings, Dave, which, you know, is superior to many in this field. He's got nothing to fear. Like, he's chalked up, he's dismissed by the bookmakers because of these supposed PGA Tour heavyweights. But as we've discussed, there aren't that many heavyweights here. This is not a deep field. Kurt Kitayama is seventh in the betting, Dave. Do you think Kensei Hirata is scared of Kurt Kitayama? Answer
sounds
me.
Like you're not.
I don't think he's scared of Kurt Kitayama. I don't think he's scared of anyone. I mean, you get a lot of these young Japanese lads. They're pretty fearless. They're brought up in a very contrasting way to how people are brought up over here. I mean, you know, we treat our kids with, you know, gentle parenting and whatnot. But over in Japan and Korea and lots of parts of Asia, you know, you're brought up to be, fearless in here. Early doors. You know, I think Kensei Hirata at the age of 23 is not scared of Kurt Kitayama. He's not scared of you, Dave. He's not scared of anyone.
Okay, right. Fearless. And a reminder of his price. He's a big, you make a good case for him. It feels like it's a big price.
110-1 is available out there, Dave. Incredible.
Okay, right. He's a big price. Runners that are not such a big price at the head of the market. Talk us through some of these big guns that you're taking on.
Well, Xander Schauffele is obviously going to be popular at 4-1, but just where is the motivation for him? You know, he's only human. Surely the President's Cup was the final flourish of what has been a crazy, hectic, successful year. He's been in the thick of things for so long, hasn't he? USPGA, major breakthrough. US Open, he contended. Open Championship, obviously won that. Olympics, in the thick of things throughout. FedEx Cup playoffs, in the thick of things throughout. President's Cup, a leading member of the side. So I just think this lad needs a rest. He surely can't get highly motivated for this. It's just a fun trip to Japan for him, I think.
Is he getting weighed out by the sponsors? What's the story here? Why is he making the effort?
He's got some Japanese in his family's way. His family comes from all corners of the globe. So he loves Japan. He's been to Japan just for trips before. He likes his trips to Japan, but remember it used to be a wraparound season and this would contribute to FedEx Cup points going forward. Yep. But now the full series is basically just for the players trying to keep their card and stuff. There really is no benefit to Xander Schauffele winning this other than, you know, the trophy and the glory, I suppose. But if I'm playing at 4-1, Dave, I just want certain guaranteed commitment, a thorough preparation, practice after every round. And I just don't see that happening from Xander this week. I think it's too short to play.
Well, you make it sound like Xander's on a jolly up to Japan.
Well, wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you be after all you'd achieve this year? And all, there's no financial incentive. It's not going to change anything in Xander Schauffele's year or career if he wins this, really. And Hideki Matsuyama, you might think Hideki Matsuyama, 8-1. You might be tempted, obviously, a Japanese playing in Japan, but it's a similar deal for him. I just don't think he's going to have that passion because this tournament used to mean an awful lot to Hideki Matsuyama. It was the first PGA Tour event in his homeland. He was runner-up to Tiger Woods in 2019, then he won it in 2021. But I feel that's like job done for Hideki Matsuyama. He's become the Zozo champion. The last 2 years of this tournament, he's been lackluster, 40th and 51st. So completely tailed off in the last two editions. Yeah. Remember, he withdrew from the penultimate leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs with back problems. Remember, He started well, then withdrew. So the back problems reared their ugly head again. He hasn't really found top gear since then. I'd question the hunger, and I just, again, 8-1. 8-1 is not worth the risk for me. Whereas Morikawa at 7-1, I don't see any negatives. I can't find a reason to worry about that bit.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, talking about the jolly at 4-9-2. I mean, we're not taking on a player here that's 20-1, are we? And like you say, everything's built into the price. So
yeah,
worth opposing. Definitely worth opposing.
Absolutely, Dave. Absolutely. No, I'm happy with our team. We got 8 in our team this week.
8, right. 5-3, 15 each way selections. Do remember to gamble responsibly, of course. But I'm going to be having, Steve, this week, the each way doubles. And then I'm going to have just win doubles with Morikawa as well. The 5 and...
Okay.
Because I'm confident. I'm confident this week.
I like your style.
A good feeling.
Like your style, Dave. I will obviously have my usual larger bet on the two number ones. So Yannick Paul and Colin Morikawa. Get as many places as you can, each way double. I think that's a wonderful package.
Right, well, before we round up who you are with this week, just a special message. This is the last show of the Sweet Spot for producer Sam, who is a good egg. He's behind the scenes, Steve. He's a good lad. He obviously hosts the podcast as well, and we're sad to hear and see him depart.
We are. A good heart is hard to find, and Sam Hart is a good heart. We are sorry to see him go. But it seems like we've got a world-class replacement. I've just seen them
I would call it an upgrade myself. That's as far as I would go.
Yeah. That's it. But no, we wish Sam Hart all the best. But the Sweet Spot will live on. No one's bigger than the club, Dave.
That's true. As I know too well, of course. Yes, exactly. So we wish you well, Sam, anyway. So good lad. We can try and drive him mad with one or two edits along the way, things that are questionable for broadcast, but we get there in the end. So we wish Sam well. Right, we've got a 5-3. Steve, give us a roundup of this week's selections then.
Genesis Championship, Yannick Paul, Guido Migliozzi, Gavin Green, Daniel Hillier, and Jiang Wang Ko. I better spell that one because obviously the pronunciation doesn't help people who go to the betting shop with a pen, but it's J-E-O-N-G, then new word, W-E-O-N, then new word, K-O. Jiang Wang Ko.
Okay, stick the captions on, screenshot them, let us know, post them on social media, just what on earth actually came out there of Steve's mouth. Right,
That's why Sam's going, isn't he? He can't handle the task of working out what I'm
saying. Right, the Zozo as well. Round up the Zozo for us, Steve.
Colin Morikawa. Two L's in Colin. Takumi Kanaya and Kensei Hirata.
Lovely stuff. Right, comments in below, who you're playing this week. If you're following Steve, who you fancy. A, been getting on. Loads of people have been amongst it with the place money. We've had winners as well in recent weeks as well. Do remember to gamble responsibly. Enjoy the golf. No show next week. And then Warren and Steve will be back the week after. We've got the Abu Dhabi Championship and the Worldwide Technology Championship. Do not miss it. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. Until then, take care and enjoy the golf.